These days, work is in trouble. We've outsourced most of our manufacturing to other countries. And with that, we sent away good jobs and our capability to make things. American Giant is a clothing company that's pushing back against this tide. They make all kinds of high-quality clothing and activewear, like sweatshirts, jeans, dresses, jackets, and so much more, right here in the USA. So when you buy American Giant, you create jobs in towns and cities across the country. And jobs bring pride. Purpose. They stitch people together. If all that sounds good to you, visit American-Giant.com and get 20% off your first order when you use code STAPLE20 at checkout. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with promo code STAPLE20.
Well, anybody who's listening to this, your ears do not deceive you. Anybody who's watching this, your eyes do not deceive you. This is indeed Tom Downey and Sophia Richmond who joined me for this show. However, this is not Formula Talk. This is indeed Grid Talk. And of course, in true Formula Talk inspired fashion, one time is just Soph and myself. We still aren't live due to technical difficulties. Welcome back to the show. As I mentioned, my name is Tom Downey, and here today joining me is the lovely Sophia Richmond. We're going to discuss the qualifying for the 2023 Sao Paulo Brazilian, whatever you call it, Grand Prix. Just before we get into this episode, I must thank our sponsor, BetOnline. So BetOnline is your number one source for all your betting needs. Get the latest odds, lines, and matchup reports for baseball, boxing, golf, and more. BetOnline continues to be the fastest and easiest way to place your wagers, including live betting and your favorite casino and card games available to play right from your phone. Head to the website or use your mobile device today to sign up and get in on the action. Remember to use the promo code BLEAV, that's BLEAV, for your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, where the game starts. And also, please be sure to follow us on our brand new social channels at GridTalk UK to stay up to date with the show. So, as I mentioned, it is Sophia who's joining me, and we are definitely talking about F1 and not anything else this week, which is going to be a surprise. Well, it's not that much of a surprise, because if it wasn't F1, it would actually be Sophia doing this intro as opposed to me butchering it. So speaking of butchering things, let's talk about Alfa Romeo. They have a man who has twice been on pole here, Valtteri Bottas, I believe 2017 and 2021. He was on pole in the Mercedes. He qualifies in the lofty heights of P18 and then qualifies plumb last behind Logan Sargeant. That's a bit of a reality check for them after a potentially promising weekend, last weekend. Do you think they've got any chance of any?
They might be, potentially. I did say that Bottas in the preview show could have had some good opportunities. As you mentioned, obviously has been in pole twice for it so far and has a lot of experience. We knew that they were going to be on the cusp of Q1 and Q2. I was not expecting it to be that bad. But I knew that I was hoping for at least one of them to get into Q2 and we go from there. Probably more Bottas over Zhou because obviously experience and, as mentioned, pole. But I think because both of them being out, I believe this is like the first time in a while that they've actually... Oh no, it was AlphaTauri, I think. But first time like they've been both knocked out in a while. Do I think they're going to do well on Sunday? Probably not. I don't think now they have a chance with points unless something outrageous happens, like the weather, which obviously we'll speak about at some point again. But yeah, it's not looking forward. I think they need to start putting the focus in on Saturday and tomorrow's race and try to get some needed points, which might be still a difficult beat to have.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's going to take something quite impressive for them to get some points on Sunday. And just to say, if we do ever refer to it as tomorrow, we do mean Sunday. Obviously, this has been recorded on the Friday evening with, like, questionable at best fiber doing its absolute best to interrupt us like the weather did in Interlagos. So on that note, we have Williams. Alex Albon qualified P15 just about, and looking at the timings, just about made it out of Q1. Ultimately, he starts seeing the race from P15 tomorrow because he qualified at the back in P2. His teammate, Logan Sargeant, qualified P19. Still on the back of the grid. Still on the back row of the grid. Not starting in last place. He is right in there with the Alfa Romeos. He was less than a tenth off the back of Bottas. So definite signs of improvement for him. And it is safe to say he's slowly getting better. Do you think Albon can potentially sneak a point on Sunday? And do you think Logan can do enough this race weekend to further bolster his?
Yeah, obviously it's still being decided whether that 2024 seat, who's going to take that second Williams. I will say for Alex as well, he was the only one that I remember hearing about track limits. It was the turn four track limits. He was so close to go into Q3, but then because of the track limits, he dropped down to a P15, and there wasn't really enough time to kind of him to do a cool one push lap, because I think there's only 2 minutes left on the time. So he actually didn't really come out of the pits to do a proper another push, because his time before the lap time was deleted was okay, but obviously the track was evolving so quickly. We saw that obviously in Q1, where he was battling in the top like three a few times for it. So I think for Alex, I think there is potentially a possibility that he can probably get some points. We've seen even in free practice that single free practice that he is doing quite well. We know that the Williams does have some pace and some speed, so I don't think it's unrealistic for him not to be on the cards. I think also for Sargeant with points, we have to look as well come Sunday, like there might be some engine problems as well for some teams that might have some pit lane starts. Obviously, we had that last year with Kevin Magnussen, who technically was on pole, but then had to start from the pit lane, so wasn't on pole. This track is so unpredictable that it could benefit Sargeant. He might be able to start up higher in the grid if penalties come into play, depending on how bad / good Saturday goes, depending on who you're talking to. It might be good for Sargeant, but bad for a Haas, for example. I'm saying Haas as an example, but it could be actually them, let's be honest. But we'll see. I think it's not what they wanted. We knew Sargeant would not really get into Q2. He was on the cusp a few times trying to get into Q2, but he's just back where he is. And there's always going to be somebody that's like in the back row, and it's realistically, statistically, more so him for the rest of the season and just the season in general.
Yeah, I think it's safe to say Sargeant is where he belongs at the minute, at the back of the grid. He's certainly not, he's not set the world alight, but SOP at least continues to keep it out the barriers, which I think he's done for about three race weekends in a row now. Speaking of disappointments, AlphaTauri, I'm for the savagery tonight. I do apologise. Yuki Tsunoda qualified P16. We did hear him remonstrating a bit on the radio. He was complaining about Hamilton. I believe that was for a pit lane potential blocking incident. And we did see his onboard. He came across, I believe it was an Alpine and actually Hamilton in the pit lane. But he's qualified P16 ahead of his teammate Daniel Ricciardo, who was less than half a tenth. He was 0.014, I believe, of a second behind him. I think it's perhaps a bit of a bump back down to reality for AlphaTauri. I don't know about you, Sophie, if you've been said, but I just want to say, after the Daniel Ricciardo hype train was in full force last week, I think perhaps, you know, the altitude may have helped or all the rest of it, whereas this week they're perhaps, do you think they're a bit more back, almost back where they belong?
So with AlphaTauri, like you said, it pretty much goes to where we've been expecting it to be. I will say as well, and it was mentioned in Q1, in the history that we've been racing with qualifying, this is the closest distance between P1 and P7 in the Q1 of half a second. That is a big feat. That is crazy to show how competitive it is at a track that's obviously so historic. And as well, this is the first time that AlphaTauri has been knocked out since Silverstone for both of their drivers as well. So we always knew that there was going to be one driver that has competency, got into Q2, or even maybe sometimes Q3. Our assumption was going to be Ricciardo over Yuki, because even though Yuki has had more experience right now this season compared to Ricciardo, it's just obviously the driving styles. I will say as well, Yuki did have some problems coming out of that pit lane. There was so many issues going on about the pit lane. We'll mention it a few times as well in this show, while we're still waiting for some investigations from the stewards to be announced as well, if there's any penalties. But drivers weren't kept to the left when they should have been. And obviously, because it's a blind corner coming out of that pit, Yuki got impeded more than once. I think he got impeded by both the Alpines as well in Q1, which obviously then put him on a bad foot to start his final good push at the end of Q1. To be fair, I think both of them could have made it into Q2. I think that was very more realistic, I think, for them. I think maybe by the cusp, but that's pretty much it. But yeah, it was just track development as well. They came out at the right time. I think Yugi was like one of the last drivers to go across as well. So like he had all the opportunity, but I think it was just bad driving, I guess, from Yuki. But yeah, it's fall from grace, I think. Obviously, we thought that Ricardo would be quite good, obviously, given how well Austin was. When it comes to tomorrow, though, I do think that they could do a lot better than what they're doing right now. When it comes to Sunday's race, points, probably not. On the verge of it, but probably not, let's be honest. I think there's going to be, unless there is a fall from grace of cars having engine problems or pit lane starts and letting the AlphaTauri start higher up on the grid, I think that is their best shot to get the points on Sunday's race. But who knows? Maybe the car is set up. Daniel Ricciardo also did say as well, they changed the car from FP1 to qualifying quite drastically. And he thinks that he could have gone into Q2 for sure, maybe even Q3. So let's see if they get it set up perfectly for Saturday's sprint shootout for the sprint race late on Saturday evening.
I won't worry about Danny Rick talking, because if he thinks he can get into Q3 with the AlphaTauri on this circuit, I admire the confidence, I'll put it that way. Next step, we're looking at cars who actually, well, teams rather, constructors, but both cars into Q2. Haas, now obviously, small fun fact, as you may or may not have seen on social media, Haas is the only team on the grid where both drivers have had a pole position. And if that is not a five-star performance, let's see what is a five-star performance if you leave a five-star rating on Spotify or a five-star review on Apple Podcasts. God damn it, I nailed it. Ruby, you'll be proud of that one, my friend. Oh, my word, I was cooking that one, boys and girls. Yes, that one was sensational, if I do say so myself. But yes, no, it was. So Hülkenberg ultimately P11 and K-Mag P14. I believe I may have been slightly wrong in what I said earlier, where I said Yuki shouted about Hamilton. I can't remember if Yuki shouted about Hamilton and K-Mag about a Ferrari or the other way around. I've got a feeling it was K-Mag complained about Ferrari as he entered Sector 2 in that amazing infield section, which I would love to drive in real life, but I live in the UK, so I doubt that will happen anytime soon. And then Hülkenberg, obviously, you posted it here with Williams back in, oh God, I want to say 2000. I think it's 2010, because I think he was then out in 2011. Back in with Force India Racing Point of Force India of Aston Martin and Spike Midland F1 team in 2012, because that's definitely what they're called. Yeah, so, you know, Haas, how many times have we seen it this season? But they haven't, instead of asking you, how do you think they're going to get on tomorrow? I'm just going to say, what lap are they going to fall to the back of the grid by after they've chewed up their rear tyres?
Oh, I don't know. The issue is that it's also sprints as well, so obviously that's going to come into play as well. I'm mentioning it every time because we just never know. But Haas had some really good times in Q1 to begin with, and then obviously they just dropped off into Q2. It was that last sector was pretty much everyone was getting yellows on their final push lap as well. So obviously that was when the weather started to change as well. So obviously winds, I'm just looking out, it's still pitch black on the circuit live. I'm seeing it on Sky. Like, it's still heavy raining. Oh my God, it's absolutely pitch black still. So obviously the weather's making such a big difference as well. I don't want them to fall off. It would have been really cool if K-Pack gets a pole for the sprint. That might be my bold prediction. I doubt it's ever going to happen. It happened last year when it was really bad weather, so who knows. But points, probably, maybe. I think for one, could be. I'm not saying which one for Sunday's race, but again, it's just... Haas has been so high and low. They've had some really good FP1 times or free practice times and a decent qualifying a few times with Q1 times to go into Q2, but then they drop off on the race. It's similar to like how Ferrari is. They're set up good for one lap shootouts, but then when they actually come to the race pace, they're absolutely back of the grid. Obviously, right now, I believe they are 10th in the constructors as well, so they definitely need some points these last couple races, and I think the sprint, given that you can get extra points, is probably the best opportunity that they can, because at the moment, they're going to finish 10th, in all honesty, when we go to Abu Dhabi.
Yeah, absolutely. I'd forgotten they'd fallen to 10th in the constructors. They really need something this weekend. But yeah, they're that middle sector. I do worry about their rear tires, because the Haas is so heavy and so abrasive on its rear tires, and on a circuit like Interlagos where there's a lot of lateral load going through those tires, especially in that middle sector, the tires are going to be so hot and potentially overheating and then burned out as it comes into sector three. And then obviously that was it, like 1.2 kilometer run down to turn one, I think Crafty said it was. I fear for them. I think their opening laps will be good, but then after that, yeah, I can see them falling back. Next, we'll have a quick chat about the Alpines in true Alpine Renault style. Forgot about them. They qualified P12, P13 with Ocon and Gasly respectively. Ocon did a 1:10.562 and Gasly did a 1:10.567, both as their fastest laps in Q2. Now, Ocon was on the brink in Q1. He was P18, I believe, for a while, and then just about got himself into Q2. And Gasly was running last in Q2 and then got himself only up to P13. We've talked about reliability issues potentially this weekend, but once Ferrari have a reliability issue like my brain just did on the strategy pit wall, what lap do you think the Alpines will blow up? Because they're long overdue a DNF, let's be fair, because they've been quite reliable in the last few races. Do you think they'll actually make 71 laps, both of them?
I think so. As well, we also have to mention that both Ocon and Gasly have been summoned to the stewards for issues in the pit lane. And one of them, I believe, it was Gasly, which was going too slow on the down lap to create space. I think Stroll was another one that also had the same issue. Russell as well. And Perez has a call as well to the stewards for various different reasons. It's either going too slow on the out laps or not moving to the left and drivers having to take evasive action outside leaving the pit. There's a new rule that was set up for this weekend, given how Mexico was for qualifying as well. So they put in a new rule and some drivers are not listening to it by the book. Shock. And so we're just waiting to hear back from the stewards to see if there is, because there is no precedent of this new rule. So we don't know if it's a fine, if it's a warning, if there's going to be penalties of positions as well. So that also might come into play, because it might knock both Ocon and Gasly down the line as well. So they might be starting towards the back of the grid as well. We'll see. It might also maybe be a penalty more for the sprint than it would be for Sunday's race. Again, we just don't know at the moment. We've been tracking social media and seeing what's on the FIA website and Formula One website, but there's still nothing that has been posted as of right now while we're recording. But as you mentioned, reliability issues. Alpine, I don't know. I think they're not pushing the car too hard enough to have the reliability issues. I think they've been quite downplaying some of their driving and not putting too much onto the car as well. So I think if they push it too much, then yes, they will have the reliability issues. But at the moment, given how Mexico and Austin was for them, I don't think they're pushing it as hard than they probably should be doing, because they're probably saving. Because right now, I believe they are very close to getting those penalties as well for exceeding the limits as well. So there's only so many races left as well. So they don't want to get pit lane starts or five grid place penalties for the last two races of the season, especially Vegas as well, where it's unknown to all the drivers. So I think they're going to be a quiet race for both of them, for both the sprint and for the Sunday race, and just keep their head down and not make stupid mistakes. That's my goal and probably hope and realistic idea for both the Alpines for this weekend.
Yeah, that's a fair point. There's like odds on P6 in the constructors. They're not going to catch McLaren. I doubt they'll lose so much ground to whoever's in P7. I can't think who's in Williams, of course. So they just need to keep their noses clean, keep their front wings intact. Reliability is a different question, but they have been better recently, to their credit. But yeah, so we just got to sit and hope for them. Bless them. But just moving up into Q3, so this one pains me a little bit. McLaren, after the start of a quali session and a free practice session, they promised so much. They got it a bit wrong, didn't they? Lando Norris, ultimately P7, and Piastri did not set a representative lap in Q3, as both drivers went out after the rest of the pack, which, given it was raining almost of biblical proportions, not 5 minutes later, and that the sky looked like something out of a blockbuster movie. There's an incredible shot of the circuit, of the track looking up from Junkou up over the main straight into turn one, and the sky, it looked darker than the sky is here. I don't know if you, the video, everybody watch this, but if you can see out that window at the back, it looked darker than that, and it's pitch black here in the UK. Again, McLaren, most people's second favourite team, a lot of people's favourite team, but it was exactly. But once again, a blunder, and dare I say, if this was Ferrari, if this was Alpine, if this was someone else, we'd be ripping them a new proverbial. But because it's McLaren, the darling of the F1 paddock, it would seem, people are not necessarily highlighting these mistakes. I'm going to go out and I'm going to highlight them, because we've seen it a few times this season where potentially they've made questionable strategic calls, like a Silverstone where they put the drivers on hards, and it only eventually worked out. It still cost Piastri a podium in that race. Today, where they've not put the cars at the front of the grid. If I was Lando, especially knowing the pace I had in that car, I'd have been screaming, saying, "Get me out to the front of the, get me out to the end of the pit lane. I need to go as soon as the green light comes on." You know, because look how it worked out for, you know, some people up above the grid, including Aston Martin, which we'll get to in a minute. I can't believe we haven't spoken about them yet because they're that high up. But so I would say, do you think it's a missed opportunity? I think you're going to just say yes and then roll your eyes at me. And yeah, she's laughing, ladies and gentlemen, so that means absolutely. Do you think that if, okay, I'll rephrase because I think that's given us our answer already. Do you think that if Lando had got out first or one of the first winning cars, do you think he'd be right in there with Verstappen and Leclerc at the front of the grid?
I think he could have probably taken pole potentially. And he even said that in this interview as well. I think he was on track. The car was set up amazing. He is back behind it, and he was just consistently throughout qualifying up at the top. So I think pole would definitely have been very much a consideration. And to be fair, it was quite an opposite as well, because McLaren is normally the team that always is one of the first for having both of their drivers out and qualifying. And Red Bull was always the last one possible, but they won 80. And Red Bull was one of the first teams always out, which worked to their benefit, maybe for Max Verstappen, not so much for Perez. But again, Perez was also potentially caught out by Oscar Piastri's yellow flag as well, because he was just behind him. But yeah, no, I think Lando could have taken pole. I think Piastri could have had a good opportunity. He has some great pace. I remember like in Q2, he was second with, and then Alex Albon was P3 for a bit. There was a few times that it was good. It was just, I believe it was when it was starting to rain. So I want to say it's like around turn 12. And it was when the weather was changing to make it look super, super dark and really high winds. I think he just got caught off by the high winds and just went onto the grass. So it was potentially possible, but yeah, 10, 12 to 13. So I think both of McLaren's could have been in both of the top fives. I think Lando could have been pole, and I think maybe a Piastri would have been P4. I think it's probably where they've been realistically as well, because they haven't performed quite well-ish. So you now know that they are consistent to be up and battling with these to get these top rows. So we'll see how it goes with sprint. Obviously, now a lot of eyes on them because of how the performance was in Mexico with Norris qualifying and then also this qualifying today. For sprint as well, looking into it, obviously we do speak about obviously Sunday's show, but for sprint as well, Piastri won a sprint. So I think it's possible that McLaren can get some well-needed points in the constructors' battle tomorrow as well, and then hopefully make some damage limitations on Sunday's race and have both of the drivers in the points.
A sprint race this season, and I called it in our bold predictions show where I said Piastri will win a race before Orlando. I didn't say Grand Prix, I said a race, and a sprint race is still a race. So yeah, so I am right on that one. But yeah, so next we'll have a quick chat about Red Bull. So Max, which comes as a shock to absolutely nobody, he's P1. Whoever saw that coming? Actually, I think to be fair, some of us didn't, because Red Bull did look to be struggling a bit. But like you said, he got himself stationed at the end of the pit lane. He went out first. And it's easy to look at the times and go, oh, he was the only car into the 110s. Because he did a 110.7 and Claire did a 111.0. That doesn't really count for anything, because Max went out first, got his lap in, and then the weather was changing almost by the second. And it caught out Perez, sadly, because he was going around it. He was going well, you know, he was always within a tenth or two of Max, which is what he needs. And then, unfortunately, he had to basically come to a grinding halt because as he was about to hit that lovely left through Jun Cao, he had to slow down because there were yellow flags for Piastri. And I do also wonder if the track was like wet by that point because obviously Perez was behind him. So yeah, so it's easy to look at that and go, oh, Perez, you know, 2 seconds behind Max Verstappen. Well, yeah, but it absolutely hammered it down with rain. First of all, have a day off. And second of all, you know, Perez was actually doing pretty well. Whether he bottles into turn one on Sunday is a different question, like he did last week, but I guess we'll wait and see. Do you think Max will just sail off into the sunset? I don't. Do you think he's under threat from the Ferrari? Or more realistically, one of the Aston Martins, that's plural, and that's not a joke, or potentially even one of the Mercs, provided they don't get penalties.
Yeah, to be fair, Max's time in Q3 would have been the equivalent of P13 in Q1. So it was actually one of the slowest times, but the fastest time of the chart as well. So he just got lucky with it. And then Perez, as mentioned, he just got caught out with Oscar's yellow flag, and it just did a damper on his time because obviously he was in green. He was pushing for a personal best and then had to come to a really slow stop because of the yellow flags and not obviously just getting a penalty. So he could have been a lot higher than what it was expected. Then obviously the weather came down. It's easy to say that Max is going to run with it. We've seen it before when he's starting on pole. He might then actually equal his, it'll be balanced as well, because he's won 26 races outside from pole and 25 from pole. So if he wins, obviously that makes it all equal and balanced and all that. But yeah, I think there might be some battles potentially coming into it, but I think it's going to be more so Perez is going to be battling, trying to make up some ground. He is obviously the center of attention now because everyone's talking about silly season, where if his seat is still there for 2024, there was rumors of Alonso going to it, Daniel Ricciardo, Charles, like there was Lando, like there was so many people that are, like, apparently going to go for a seat. And even Max has been very diplomatic in his answers to media about if it's Daniel or if it's Checo. I think as well, because Checo is only 20 points ahead of Lewis for that second spot in the Drivers' Championship, this is a key weekend because you have the sprint to get points and also the feature race. I say feature, the Sunday race, sorry. Thinking enough too, because it's obviously the similar format. But I think this is probably the biggest race that he will have for the rest of the season. Obviously, it doesn't say much because there's only 3 more races. But Perez really needs to mix up some grounds and get points in both the sprint and the feature, because otherwise, it's just adding more nails to his coffin and his career, potentially. We'll see. Yeah, we know Max is going to win, let's be honest. If he's taking from pole, he's realistically going to get the win. He's obviously won it before, but obviously, which I will mention when we speak to about another team, there is a funny stat that's gone on since 2017 about who wins the race, depending on who got pole from a different Grand Prix in the same year, but we'll mention it later on. But we'll see. All eyes are going to be on Perez this weekend for sure.
Absolutely, they will. And, you know, I do think people need to let up on him, but alas, he is in what is easily the quickest car, well, I say easily, definitely the quickest car in the right hands on the grid. Speaking of cars which are sometimes quick, Ferrari, you know, again, much like McLaren, much like Red Bull, I should say, you could look at them and say one driver is at the top of the Q3 standings, the other driver is at the bottom. Again, caught up by the ever-changing weather conditions that we had in Q3. Leclerc has qualified P2. He's 3 tenths behind Max. Now, both he and Max, they were chatting as they were in the qualifying cool down, where full credit to the personnel who were involved, they thought rather quickly on their feet and just did the interviews from inside the garage where the safety cars and the medical cars are. Quick thinking, they still did it and they still kept it going. And in that conversation, we heard Max and Charles saying it was like they were driving when it was raining, but there was no, but they couldn't see any rain. That's how much of a phenomenon the weather that we've just seen was. And I know that some people will almost bequeath us talking about the weather that much, but it does make a difference to F1, as we've seen today. And they called the rain the great equalizer. Obviously, one of the greatest drivers ever, Ayrton Senna, was a master in the wet. it was quite fitting that we've seen this at his home Grand Prix, but I'm just not fanboying about Senna. And I'm going to fanboy about, no, not going to fanboy about Leclerc, not bothered. But no, but here, Max, you could say almost like class of their own when it comes to conditions like this. He's had remnants of last year when they were apparently in a title battle for all of about four races. Do you think Ferrari have got any chance of anything tomorrow, or do you think they are once again set up for quali pace at the expense of race pace?
I think they're better, obviously, for sprint. Even James Hinchcliffe, when he was interviewing Charles, for some reason, Charles does well when it's sprint weekend when it comes to qualifying, because he's either pole or front row, pretty much, when it's sprint weekend. When it comes to the actual race, obviously, he drops down. This is the fifth time in a row that Carlos has been out-qualified by his teammate, by Charles as well. It does show, like you're saying, his experience and how good of a driver Charles is as well. We'll see. I do think there is a good chance for Ferrari to have a podium. I think, obviously, it would be more realistic to Charles. However, it all comes to the sprint. This sprint race on Saturday makes it so unpredictable because anything could happen. Obviously, the weather keeps on changing as well, because I believe it was on the radar for rain, but not that kind of rain. I think it's potentially like threatens of showers on Saturday and Sunday, but obviously just don't know, because it can be completely dry and sunny and then bam, it'll be completely raining. So we don't know how it is. It's very, as you mentioned, a very good equalizer in this sport. With Ferrari, I think come Sunday, there is a really good opportunity for at least one of them to be on pole. I would put my money on Charles over Carlos. But when it comes to also sprint as well, I think Charles could get the pole, but I don't think they will be good for the sprint, because I believe as well they want to save their tires and have a better strategy for Sunday than they would for Saturday. Because obviously we know that Ferrari's strategy doesn't always go to plan very well. And I think we just need to ensure that we're full of points opportunities while they're in the Constructors and Drivers Championship battles. They can secure the maximum opportunity to get the maximum of points that they need, and the sprint will do that for them.
No, exactly. And you have made some good points there, so thank you for that. Mercedes, as it stands, they've locked out the fourth row, so Hamilton P5, Russell P6. Obviously Russell was first sprint and then first Grand Prix race here last year, and Hamilton sporting quite an impressive Senna helmet, has to be said, and the crowd adore him even after the events of 2008, which is quite ironic but also lovely at the same time. So I did almost shout to the TV, use that Glock when we had that weather, because it was that Glock corner where Piastri went off, so I almost shouted, is that Piastri? But yes, that's just a nerdy me joke. As it stands, they are both P5, P6. Now, as we've mentioned, they are subject to investigation by the FIA. They've been summoned. The Russell for, I believe, was impeding in the pit lane as Gasly came down the pit lane, and obviously it's quite a tight pit lane, quite a fast pit lane as it drops downhill. So if we hear something by the end of this, we'll keep you updated. But as it stands, they are P5, P6. So we're going to be talking about that performance. So Russell was quickest in Q1 as he sat a lap right at the end, and he set softs. From the fourth row of the grid, bearing in mind they've got Aston Martin in front of them, who I don't know if they've just done Control Z in AutoCAD and just gone back to their Bahrain spec. I don't know, but they've been, given that there's been a lot of hype, and I for one, even as a Red Bull fan, banked Hamilton to win this weekend because of how much he loves this circuit, the rich vein of form he's been in. Do you think he's perhaps a bit of, certainly from Hamilton, who in my opinion has been wiping the floor with George Russell, do you think it's been a bit of an under-delivery from him in this quali today?
Yeah, I mentioned, and I'm just going to start the stat straight away. I did mention about this five-year stat. It is whoever has taken pole in Hungary has won the race in Sao Paulo. Pole? What? Yeah, pole. So it dates back since 2017. And guess who took pole in Hungary? So Lewis did. So statistically, y'all know how much I like my numbers. I think he still has a good chance of winning. I backed him in the preview episode as well, that he would have a podium. I think I said P2 for him. So I think because of his experience and his love for this track, and obviously being an honorary Brazilian given citizenship from that kind of way, I think it is all form. When it comes to George, obviously he did win last year. To be fair, I was still expecting Lewis to win over George last year just because of kind of seniority records and all that as well. But we can see that there is obviously, Mercedes has done so much better compared to last year in the car development as well. So I think having even both of the drivers potentially on podium is not an unrealistic idea for it. As mentioned, George, I think he has actually more than one issue that he's been summoned to the stewards about, because he was slow on the outlaps more than once. He almost was impeding another car in the pit lane because of trying to create the gap as well. So it might be a few more penalties potentially. Again, we don't know because this is the first time that this rule has come into place during a race weekend. We'll see. I think also the just Q3's just timings were just not there, because obviously they had a cool lap, then a mid-push lap, and then they were trying to do the final push, and then that's when the rain came down. So I don't think this is a true representation of how qualifying the grid should be for at least the top 10. For the top 10, I think Mercedes could have been a lot higher. Obviously, I mentioned Lando could have potentially taken pole. So I think tomorrow will show a more realistic opportunity on how it's going to be. But yeah, so I think they'll do better in the sprint, and then it'll also set the tone to how Sunday will be as well. But I think definitely Lewis can still get the podium.
Oh, absolutely. And I think if he does get a podium, within the crowd, it's going to go absolutely wild, to be fair. I'd tell you, someone who would have sent the crowd absolutely insane if they got a podium this weekend would have been the Aston Martin reserve driver, Felipe Drugovich. And Aston Martin pretty well teased us on their Instagram post, I think it was yesterday, where they did an announcement post for Drugovich and said that he's continuing for 2024. It's like, God, if they had us in the first half, boys, we'll get him next time. But speaking of getting him next time, somebody was saying this, given the sort of races they've had recently, and it's just mad to think about what a season they've had, topsy-turvy. Aston Martin locked out the second row on merit-ish. Lance Stroll out-qualified his teammate somehow. I don't know if like Alonso was stabbing pins in a voodoo doll of Lance Stroll last night or something, but yeah, Stroll P3. He was 3 tenths behind Leclerc, and then Alonso was 0.04 behind his teammate, and both of them had looked strong. Stroll especially had looked really strong throughout all the quali. So where has this speed come from? Do they just come to Brazil via Bahrain? You know, have they muddled the cars up? Did they leave one of them in the ports before it came to Brazil? Where's this come from?
I hate to say it, but I think they just got lucky. I think they just came out at the right time for the Q3. Even Q2, Stroll was up there as well, which is very surprising. I think we knew Aston Martin has had some good opportunities in Brazil and has had a good car for Brazil. So I think it wasn't unrealistic to see them not do well, but I was not expecting them to do this well. Stroll said the car was good in all the sessions, and then when it came to Q3, it was super bad, but he was one of the few drivers that was able to put like a proper kind of push time. But even still, it still wasn't a good represent of time. Again, as I mentioned, that top 10, that order should have been completely different, I think, in my opinion. However, coming to Sunday, I think it's just going to drop down where we see, obviously, how Aston Martin has been in race pace. I think Alonso could still potentially, because of his experience, kind of battle out with the top. Maybe top 5 for the points and everything. But I think with Stroll and how his driving is, I'm not expecting to see very well for him, which is really bad to say. We will see like this for Saturday's sprint race. I will tell you that right now. I think they will fall from grace and probably not get into sprint shootout 2. Because that's how I think they just purely got lucky. But who knows? I might be wrong. And y'all can come at me in the comments when we do the show tomorrow. I'll be on it as well to talk about the sprint race, so make sure you tune in to Grid Talk. But I think, do you think Alonso could get podium on Sunday, Tom?
I do, yeah, because look at how many podiums he got in that car at the start of the season, and given his experience, just Stroll, I think, will bottle it. He's been all right in the wet and stuff before, but Alonso has been, I'm surprised he hasn't got to see a chiropractor to fix his back from carrying the team. Because he's been that good. And if it wasn't for Alonso, they'd have slumped even further in the constructors, arguably. But yeah, it's Aston Martin's an interesting one. I like the team because Aston Martin's my favourite car manufacturer, and I will own one by the time I'm 40, but 11 years to go. So I'm working on it, but a Bentley first. But no, Aston, if they definitely have some weak points in that team, like one of the drivers and the guy who owns the team. Sorry, I let the intrusive thoughts win. And then there's definitely some operational issues, and they've run out of steam when it comes to the development race. But yeah, it's almost like we've gone back to the start of the season. McLaren not quite there, Max up there, Aston Martin nipping at the heels, all the rest of it, and Mercedes mixing in the middle of the pack as opposed to like on the sort of front or second row. But so you did say that if people want to come at you tomorrow, first of all, please feel free. And second of all, if you do want to do so, Grid Talk is available on YouTube, where most episodes are recorded live. Now, we usually record quality series, sprint shows, and race shows. This particular quality show, due to technical difficulties, I do apologize as a technical person, is obviously not. But you can also catch them on Amazon Fire, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Apple Music, Verbal, and Pocket Cast. Just search Grid Talk Podcast, and you will find us. And you'll also find our sister show, which I really hope Sophia is going to give a plug to in a minute. Hint, hint, wink, wink, nudge, and all that. Please do consider helping the channel on Patreon so we can get mics, lights, and better recording equipment. Also, make sure you're subscribed so you can go and buddy Sophia when Alonso wins the sprint race tomorrow after qualifying P1 for it. Is that right, Soph?
I said podium maybe for Sunday. I think they're just going to fall from grace tomorrow. Yeah.
Yeah. Both she and I have been absolutely cooking this episode. It has been quite good. And I did mention that, Soph, you're the co-host of Formula Talk. Can't think who the other idiot who hosts it is. What's his name again? Do you want to tell us a bit about it?
Is it Tom Horrocks?
That's it, yeah. The old man, the Alta Cloud guy, that's him.
No, it's obviously you. As mentioned at the beginning of the episode, joining me as always for Formula Talk. Yeah, we don't have an episode coming out this week as it is obviously there's no races, but we will have a special to preview the Macau 70th anniversary because we have a lot of F2 drivers, F3 drivers, and a few other surprises on that. So that will be our next episode before we preview the final race of the Formula 2 season in Abu Dhabi. Obviously, we have a few news and we'll be discussing a lot of shakeups in IndyCar as well, so discussing that briefly. But pretty much you can listen to us whenever we post live. No, we still don't post live. Whenever we post on YouTube or wherever you listen to our podcast, it's under the same catalog as Grid Talk and also on social media as well, the same. But hopefully, yeah, it should be. We might have some special guests coming in during the break and also the off season as well. So definitely stay tuned and check in on social medias when we do post those episodes.
Absolutely. We are looking to get some guests. We are reaching out to people. But yes, you know, if you do what you hear or what if you watch these live when they go live or if you indeed watch later on YouTube, thank you so much. And any views, any likes, thumbs up, comments, all the I don't assign one of those YouTube people because that's not me. But it does genuinely help. And we do read every comment, even if we don't necessarily respond to it in time. We do see everything. So, yeah, so thank you for that. We'll be back tomorrow to review Sophia's incorrect prediction about the 2023 Brazilian Grand Prix sprint. Yeah, you looked at me then and said, hang on, what? But no, we'll be back tomorrow evening to review. It'll be both the shootout, qualifying, but shootout and the actual sprint race. Until then, thank you so much for joining us. You've been listening to the Grid Talk podcast presented by Bet Online, and goodbye.